I wore my Tecovas, my new brown Tecovas boots, the Chelsea boots, to a dinner a few days ago,
Oh my
and
God,
I
how'd it
got
go?
complimented. Well, they were great. They fit well, but they got complimented, and I was like, well, they're spawn number one, but two, I really do love them. Thank you for complimenting my boots. I love my Tecovas boots. I know Lindsay loves hers too. I love what Tecovas put in their ad copy here. It's about festival and concert season being all about the boots, especially with a big album that came out very recently that I
Oh,
won't name. But
this
if you
ain't
love this album, you're
Texas.
gonna this ain't Texas. You're gonna want your Tecovas. You know, this ain't Texas. These Tecovas. They have seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All of their boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. They have first wear comfort, so you don't have to like break them in and wear them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. I can say that from experience, it's true. And their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. And if you live in a place with a Tecovas store, you should probably go there because they give you a drink, they help you out, they help you pick the perfect boots that you want, and it smells good because there's leather everywhere. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized and regular live music and events, so there's no in-store experience quite like it. But if you can't make it into a store, just go to tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You will dream it.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And the Emmys happened.
Our family knows firsthand how truly compelling television comes from real people just being themselves.
Telling their stories unfiltered and unscripted.
Here are the nominees for Outstanding Competition.
They sure did, and you didn't watch them, so...
I didn't. They were the lowest rated Emmys in a long time? I don't know. I guess they're just constantly getting lower and lower and lower. It's like how every month is the hottest month on record. It's like every Emmys is the lowest rated Emmys in history.
People are not really into award shows right now, and I think that's, you know, we're going through a period.
Even the Oscars were like, eh.
But, you know, I think that's because... And like this whole thing with the hosting, no host ever... That has to do with this, I think. You know?
What is this from? Per very preliminary numbers, Fox's Sunday night telecast scored a 5.7 out of 10 result in metered market ratings, down 23% from last year. 23% is big, though.
I just want the 23%. It's down 23%, but it's down 30%, like, overall from...
It's like...
Yeah.
This September was a couple of degrees hotter than last September, but if it were like 23% hotter than last September, I think people would be a little more nervous.
But I guess the point is that
the
like
teens are nervous.
These award shows are not as make or break as you would think they are. And like if somebody wins an award, it's not like, oh, they're famous now, like we kind of imply.
Yeah.
Because really when you take a step back, it's like, well, who's actually watching these things? Maybe it's just the people that already know the shows.
And they're also more, I think they still retain the weight and the power on like a micro level, like for each of these individuals. It like really changes their careers and like gives them this like, you know,
but not
sparkling thing on their resume that they can say, well, oh, well, they can demand more money. Oh, they'll get more roles. But it's like to you and me, I think more people are going to watch Fleabag than would have had it not won. But I don't think it's going to be some sprint to Amazon to watch Fleabag like yesterday, you know?
I don't think so. Yeah, I actually don't think so at all.
There will definitely be a bump, but I don't think it's huge.
The bump is minor.
The problem still remains. There's still 8 billion shows on television. So
right. So that's what I'm saying. I think these have little to no influence on actual... It's not like all of a sudden everyone's like Fleabag. If anything... You might,
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
If anything, people who aren't watching the Emmys, which is most people, might see a bit of media because there's going to be like a bump in media on Fleabag all of a sudden.
My parents are going to call me and say like, who's Fleabag? And I'm going to say, don't even get me started.
I know, you're going to hang up on them.
What's
Block
Ozark?
Their number.
I didn't watch, but like, what's Ozark? I kept seeing people make jokes about Ozark on Twitter. And I was thinking that it won best like drama over Game of Thrones, and I wasn't fazed. I was like, okay, that makes sense because I don't know what Ozark is, but I know people watch it. Okay, it won. Whatever.
It came.
It won
close.
A couple awards.
It came close. It came close to winning that.
Jason Bateman won Best Director, which is wild, over Game of Thrones people. And someone named Julia Garner won Best Supporting Actress over Game of Thrones people.
Mom, what are we doing here?
Your father's laundering money for a Mexican drug cartel.
What do I know about her? She's not James Garner's granddaughter, as I just assumed, just because nepotism rules. No relation to James Garner. And she's dating Foster of Foster the People. So her name is Julia Garner the People.
Julia Garner the People. Oh, Julia Foster.
Julia Garner the
People. It will be Julia Foster.
Emmy winner, Julia Foster the People.
Yeah, Foster the People.
Julia Garner Foster the People.
She's going to keep Garner?
She might hyphenate.
Okay. Other notable.
Do you watch Ozark?
No, of course I don't watch Ozark. That's rude to me that you would say that to me. It's like,
did you read
Watched by Parents on Netflix? But it's hugely popular on Netflix. Like, it is a big deal.
It's set in the Ozark, and incredible. It's about money laundering. And then I was reading this EW story that's like, here's what you need to know about Ozark now that it's won these Emmys and you don't know what it is. And it says, what to expect in season 3. There are 2 seasons of this show. I have no idea what it is. I know it's very blue. The show is extremely blue. It says, the riverboat casino that Marty worked hard on at the end of season 2 becomes operational. What?
Laura Linney's in it. I don't really want to talk about Ozark, but
Laura Linney in a riverboat casino?
Yeah, I don't really. Unless we're going to watch
Billy Porter?
It.
Is he a them yet? Who?
Unless we're going to watch it, we shouldn't talk about it. Billy Porter, I think, is
who still
cuspy, but a who, maybe. But I even think Phoebe Waller-Bridge is like, who? Didn't we call her a them? Like, she's cuspy.
Cuspy still. I don't know if we called her a them.
But I'm just saying, like, the low ratings on this thing, it doesn't make me want to, like, have anyone become them from it. Like,
no.
You know, even, like, watching this, you're like, Marvelous, like, everyone in the world. Emmys make it seem that everyone in the world is watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, you know? Like, everyone in the whole world. It's like your birthright. You know, it's the national anthem of TV shows. But is that the case? I don't know. But, you know, like, Amazon money is, like, fueling this award show. It's crazy to me.
I just assume that Amazon pays for all their awards.
Like, I just don't understand. I mean, it was insane to me
how
HBO also did do well. HBO
definitely
ran through. But I don't know. It felt very same. Same.
Patricia Clarkson didn't win. You know, that's all that matters. Ben Whishaw did win. Okay.
The most exciting wins were Phoebe Waller-Bridge a couple of times for Fleabag. Jerelle Jerome won. That was exciting. That was like,
or when they
these
see
were
us.
Emotional moments. Like, Ben Whishaw's was a little bit exciting. Who else was exciting? I mean, that really was it. Billy Porter's was exciting, as you said. And Jodie Comer's was exciting because it was kind of unexpected. So the rest was like, well, you know, how many times do we have to celebrate Game of Thrones, you know?
Well, we didn't celebrate it as much as people thought they would celebrate.
Oh, Michelle Williams.
Did you see that Halsey sang? I watched Halsey sing time after time for the In Memoriam section this morning.
Right. That's what you chose to watch.
Well, yeah, it was sent to me. Kate sent it to me. She was like, I didn't recognize Halsey last night. And so I watched the video and I didn't recognize her either because she had a very different hairdo. So I was like, she looks very different. And also, why do you sing time after time during In Memoriam? It's not, it doesn't make any sense for an In Memoriam. The people are gone.
No, it makes sense.
If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. No, you won't find them because they're dead.
No, you're doing a real extended stand-up bit here. It makes
I'm not doing a stand-up bit. The whole time I was watching it, I was like, this doesn't make any sense.
It makes sense. Time after time is a funeral movie.
I've never heard that in a funeral context.
I have. I've heard
Sarah McLachlan in a funeral context.
Yeah, well, this is a little bit further away from that, you know, from what's the number one funeral song? I mean, we were guessing what song would come on, like what song she would sing. And I said Memories.
Without me?
Because I was like, Memories would be like a good Cats tie-in.
Yeah, I thought Without Me could be funny, like a slow acoustic Without Me.
But that's her song, and they would never let her sing her own song. Because if people don't even know who she is, they barely know her song.
They put the wrong person on the In Memoriam list, which is sad.
Yeah.
Andre Previn died, and they didn't show a photo of Andre Previn. They showed a photo of someone named Leonard Slatkin. He's alive.
Mm-hmm.
He's apparently mad, and I think we're done with the Emmys.
Yeah, you didn't watch them, so I feel like we really can't continue. Let's move to something that you do know about, like Christy Brinkley. Yeah.
I'm so happy to be here so I can personally thank you for defending me.
That's right. Yes.
Sharon, you did it in such a classy way, with so much love. And, you know, in really as a lesson for all of us, you know, like when somebody acts like that, you can only feel sorry, you know.
That's
for,
right.
When you're in a happy place, you support and you love one another and you boost everybody up.
The weirdest thing about the Christie Brinkley thing continues to be that Hollywood Life is getting more and more exclusives lately, and one of them is this interview with Christie Brinkley, and they asked her about Wendy Williams being like, and Wendy Williams' conspiracy theory that included the instantly iconic line, "Do you want to dance and with the stars?"
Dancing with the Stars called Christie Brinkley and said, "Do you want to dance and with the stars?
Do you want to dance and with the stars?" And Christie Brinkley told Hollywood Life, "I was insulted because my daughter doesn't need me to pull any strings or stunts to get her any type of jobs. She's gorgeous, smart, and funny, and an amazing person who has done a great, who has a great agent and gets offers all day long. So for Wendy to have said anything like this is why I had to say something. If it was just about me, I would pay no attention to it. But when you go after my kids, we have a problem."
It is just about you. It has nothing to do with your kid. So this is ridiculous.
We don't care about Sailor. That's the whole point.
Also, I just feel like it's, you know, Wendy said this one entertaining thing. She had like a little theory. She had a little fun. It's a TV show. It's an entertainment TV show. And of course, Christie Brinkley is going to like stretch this out until the end of time, because what else is she doing? Her arm is broken and she's sitting around all day getting mad, you know?
Her wrist and shoulders are broken, and they're broken with air quotes. Also, she should know, and I'm sure she does, that this is all good for everyone involved.
Right.
This is such a low stakes rumor that everyone is coming out a little better than before by the end of this.
Right. But also, like, you know, sometimes like our, you know, like our Monday episode, or sometimes like our Tuesday episode, you say something and you just got to move on. And that's what Wendy,
you do.
When someone's coming to Wendy being like, "Christie's mad," and Wendy's like, "What? What did I say?" You know, she doesn't remember. She doesn't even know what she did.
She completely forgot.
Yeah.
She has other things to deal with, and so do we.
Dancing with the Stars called Christie Brinkley and said, "Do you want to dance and with the stars?"
Here's a fun thing to talk about after Christie Brinkley. Speaking of feuds, Mel B is feuding with Jessie J. I love little acronym name feuds.
Mel B, Jessie J?
Yeah, do you want to know why?
No. Yes. No. Yes.
Mel B, it's just, there's nothing more fun than a feud that just comes out of nowhere. This feud comes out of nowhere, by which I mean Britain. And Mel B was being interviewed on this website, I mean, on this radio show called Heart, whatever. So there's video of her in the studio. She's being interviewed by the people, and they're doing like one of those, like, you know, where you, it's just rapid questions, rapid fire questions. They're like, "What's your favorite whatever? What's your least favorite whatever?" Da, 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 da. And they try to answer as many questions as you can in, you know, 5 minutes. And one of the questions is, who is the most overrated artist generally out there? And they're like, and everyone's like, and Mel B can't think of anything. She's like, oh my God, I don't know. And the hosts are trying to help her out. So they're like, Ariana Grande? And she's like, no, she's brilliant live. No, she's brilliant. And it's like, what about Louis Capaldi? And she's like, no, he's brilliant. He's brilliant. And then there's silence. And Mel B goes, Jessie J.
Which artist outright do you think is the most overrated? So out of all the artists out there, who's the most overrated? Oh. Ariana Grande.
But she's brilliant live.
Louis Capaldi.
It's great.
He's great on Instagram.
Yeah. Miley Cyrus.
She's brilliant.
Taylor Swift. We have to pause.
Oh. Everyone's really good. Everyone's, all the artists out there are really good and doing their own thing.
Let me think.
Let's have a think. Jessie J.
Jessie J.
Right.
Out of nowhere. Jessie J.
She didn't even get prompted for Jessie J.
No, she got prompted with other people. And then she's like, no.
Jessie J?
Jessie J.
She goes, let's have a think. Jessie J. And the hosts are like, oh, interesting. And then they move on because it's rapid fire question. So there's no time to even dwell. This happened in July. Well, Jessie J has since commented on this. And her comment was, which she posted over the weekend, is just a video of her in a recording studio singing a song that is her song that's old. It's called like White Rooms or something, in full in a video carousel. So you can watch her sing this whole song in like a 4-part video carousel. And the caption is, overrated Mel B voice, which isn't even a good caption.
It's very strange to me. We talked about this too when you sent me this. Jessie J is not overrated. She's not even rated. She's not.
If anything,
she's actually underrated.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Because
But she's thought about so little that it would be weird to categorize her as underrated.
Like, people aren't left and right. Maybe, like, in the UK, but I don't even think so, are, like, Jessie J, the most iconic singer of our generation. Like, Jessie J, like, people just cannot stop talking about Jessie J. Like, that cannot be true. So,
and I feel like she's not even talked, she hasn't even reached the threshold of underrated.
No.
You know?
She's
just unrated.
She actually is underrated. Like, if like objectively, she has a really good,
technically underrated.
She has a really good voice. She's a very, very good singer. So, like, the fact that no one really pays attention to her means that she's slightly underrated. The point is she's rated
accurately, appropriately by Channing Tatum.
To be,
but no one else.
To be
no
overrated.
No one else rates her correctly.
You have to be rated. Like, maybe she's overrated in China where she did the reality show.
I would call her appropriately rated in
right,
China.
Because she did a great job.
She did a great job and she deserves her success.
Right. I mean, I guess we're two Jessie J stands over here, but Mel B went after the wrong, not rated singer.
Although I will say, maybe she went after the right person because Jessie J doesn't really know how to engage in feuds.
No, that's like, why she literally posted a video and was like, overrated, and like sang a song. It's like, well,
like, imagine if she had gone after, you know, like Miley Cyrus or Ed Sheeran or Taylor Swift, overrated. There would have been hell to pay, you know, maybe not necessarily by them, but by the fans. And I think even Jessie J fans are like, we'll sit this one out. Jessie J fans are polite.
Well, but there aren't many of them.
There just aren't many of them. They're not good at organizing.
It's also
obviously.
Just weird because, like, Mel B, you know, I wouldn't say Mel. I'd say Mel B is a performer. I'd say Mel B can sing. I wouldn't say Mel B is like an incredible vocalist. Never heard Mel B do a solo anything before.
No.
So for Mel
Few
B,
of the Spice Girls are incredible solo vocalists.
Also, how dare B come after J? Like, aren't they in the same realm? If you're asked who is an overrated singer, you abstain. You do not play that game.
No,
Bobby. Who's overrated singer?
I'm just shaking my head.
No,
not saying anything.
No, I'm telling you. No, but you don't have to abstain. Who's overrated? Who would you say is the most overrated singer right now, currently, in our midst?
I really do have to abstain. I have to abstain.
No, I
think it's a bad answer. I think it's, if you are in front of a mic, I don't care how many listeners you have, you don't answer that question.
Wait, I'm sorry, but you don't count as, you're not Mel B.
I don't
want
to speak my truth.
You're also rated. You're not over or underrated.
Fine. I don't know. Billie Eilish.
Whoa.
Camila Cabello.
Whoa, that's true. But that's true. Is she over?
Camila Cabello's voice drives me fucking off the wall.
You know how I feel about it.
I can't stand it.
I hate it. I hate her voice. She.
I cannot stand it.
You think she's overrated?
Yeah.
Can I tell you who I think's overrated?
What?
Ready for this?
Oh no!
Mammy?
What?
Just kidding. It's not Beyonce. It's Solange. I think is overrated as an artist.
Yeah.
Don't come for me. Like, I'm not.
I think Solange has flash in the pan overratedness, but Solange is so bad at like retaining her highly ratedness. You know, like Solange releases an album and everyone's like, change the world. And then it just goes away.
Yeah, it's like when I watch Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I'm like, this is pretty good. And then I forget about it literally immediately. And then the Emmys happen and they're like, Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, the best TV show on the TV. And I'm like, oh, I watched that, I guess. I don't remember.
What is she doing? And like, I hate to go back to the Emmys. No, this is not a bit. I know that she wants to be a comedian. Where else is the story going?
They went to the Catskills.
Okay, I take it back.
We did this bit. Where else is she going?
Where else? Who else would be overrated? That's kind of, those are the, it's like, who's topping the charts right now, you know? You can't just pick a random
person.
You
saying Billie Eilish is big, and I think me saying Solange is pretty big, although she's not topping any charts. But But the thing is that those are two singers who
Jessie
are...
Jessie J doesn't know what the top of a chart looks like. Well, yeah, you know, true. She hasn't been there before.
It's true.
She hasn't gotten a ticket always to that
looking,
area.
She's always looking it up. She's curious.
She doesn't have a ticket on that funicular, you know? Like,
she can't...
It's...
Well, the funicular that is the top of the chart to get to the top of the charts. Katy Perry, like, they took away,
you know what?
They took
you know
away
what?
Katy Jessie Perry's J. badge too. She can't get up there anymore either.
Wait, hold on. This is actually like, I'm going to scream.
What?
Here's the sound of Jessie J going up to the top of the charts.
Stop it.
You know the guy at the Price is Right?
Yeah.
Climbing up the cliff.
But she's not going up the charts.
And then something happens and they're like, oh, you didn't make it, and then she just falls back on down.
She doesn't get that far to even get the music. She's not even on the chart, let alone up the chart.
She didn't get picked to participate in Price is Right. She's holding up the sign that's like, I love you, Bob. I want to have your babies, Bob. And then, like,
yeah,
never
like,
gets chosen.
They're like, Jesse. Who's a Jesse who's on the chart? Jesse McCartney, come on down. No, he's not.
Okay. Speaking of someone who hasn't gotten on that funicular, Jesse McCartney.
But who would be?
Maybe a writing credit. Did you listen to Celine Dion's new song?
No, is it bad?
It's
I'm
not
nervous.
Bad. It's just like, it's very Sia-y again. It's like, what are you doing? I need someone who makes me. So bad, and I've just enough left to help me back my best. Yes, I found something I thought I lost. I found me, I found faith, I found trust. You can take. What happened to, like, why can't we get Diane Warren to write her, or why can't the writers of That's the Way It Is write her another hit?
Yeah,
I want adult contemporary.
Did Diane Warren not write That's the Way It Is?
No, I can actually find the writers, but those people need to get back on her team, and she needs to write more, you know, like, heartwarming adult contemporary jams.
It just sucks because now that she's, like, a liberated woman, I guess, like, post, you know, post Renee, may he rest in whatever.
Like fiery music. Yeah.
Yeah, she needs to do, she's doing, like, she actually is trying to do, like, contemporary Camila Cabello songs that all
Lindsay,
sound like.
Do you know who wrote That's the Way It Is?
Who?
I'm going to fucking scream.
Who?
Pick it. Just name a person and you'll be
Max
right.
Max Martin.
Yes.
Remember we were like, Max Martin probably wrote it because we're cynical. And then it was like, yeah, well, he did. Of
but
course
also,
he did.
That's the Way It Is doesn't make any sense, but that's one of its charms.
Yeah, when you want it the most, there's no easy way out. When you're ready to go and your heart's
don't
left come, in doubt.
Don't give up on your faith.
Love comes
love
to those,
comes
who, believe
to those
it.
Who believe it.
And that's the
and
way
that's the way it is.
That's the most Max God. Martin phrasing ever. How did you not guess that?
I don't know, I'm like shaking in my head. Like, I cannot believe this. When you want it the most, there's no easy way out. When you're ready to go and your heart's left in doubt, that there, it's just like nothing but contradictions. Don't give up on your faith.
Love comes to those,
love
who,
comes
believe
to those who believe it.
But like Max Martin and Celine Dion definitely share like a love of like the English language, meaning the use, the way that they use the English language.
Oh, both of them are like, extremely against the idea of getting better at English. They're like, absolutely not.
No,
like,
they stopped where they are. They're not getting any better. They
Celine
stopped.
Dion, like, Celine Dion has no interest in getting any better.
She's
had like 30, 40 years and she's like, no, I'm good right here.
Yeah.
Max, come here.
Max is the lead. Even though it's like Max's literal job to be better at the English language, he refuses.
Who else are we talking about today? Noah Centineo. Oh, did you see?
Yeah, I love this.
So Lindsay sent me this tweet. So Noah Centineo bleached his beard for a role, question mark? I don't know. Is he doing another, like, To All the Boys I've Loved Before?
Why else would you bleach your beard?
How many of those fucking things are going to be made, To All the Boys? There's like 100 in production.
Here's the thing. I don't want to talk about that. So Noah Centineo did not bleach his head with his beard. He just bleached his beard. He has a blonde beard. Also, can we just talk about how Noah Centineo like fell off quicker than like quicker than Jessie J on the charts? Am I right? Just saying. But like, remember we cared about him?
You have to be on the charts to fall off.
Remember
the charts.
We were like, Noah Centineo, is he the next big thing? And then it was like, he's not even a thing. No one.
I feel like he might still be a thing in a very specific demographic that I am not privy to, nor do I want to be privy to it. But
yeah, you would have
he's
to go to jail if you were
thing.
Privy to that.
He's not
in
a broad
the way
thing
that you need to be. But
right.
I just
he's
don't
not
think,
a broad thing.
But I don't even think for them, like because he's not making.
Like he's not out here. Like Amy Pascal isn't like being like, we got to get this Noah Centineo kid. No interest. You
well,
know,
he's,
no.
The stuff that he's put out since To All the Boys has been super bad. And all these weird movies that he made before that are now getting, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I have no interest in any of those, in any of those movies.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
But he dyed his beard. I don't know why, but the Noah Centineo update fan account tweeted this video of him on Instagram showing off his flesh-colored beard, and it says, Noah Centineo update, he just bleached his beard. I'm actually crying. I'm actually considering to stop my fan account. And they changed their display name to Not Noah Centineo Updates because they're so upset. The stans are so sad. Because he has Spencer Pratt's creepy flesh-colored beard now.
Yeah.
Did you say I linked all that? Remember creepy flesh-colored beard?
I hate it.
Why would you do that to yourself? That's why I don't grow facial care, because it looks like Noah Centineo's bleached beard.
I hate it.
I know better than to do that.
Also, like at 1 a.m. he tweeted Ad Astra. That's it. Just Ad Astra.
Just Ad Astra?
Yeah.
Are you going to see Ad Astra? That's
you know,
a Hulu movie.
You know what he definitely dyed it for, maybe?
What?
He's starring in He-Man in 2021. Do you think
Wait,
that's
he's
maybe...
He-Man?
Yeah, he's He-Man and He-Man.
He's He-Man.
He's He-Man. He's He-Man.
That's weird.
In He-Man. Do you think like he's doing a test for
He-Man
like...
He-Man is blonde.
I went to his IMDb, oh my God, to see... what he was up to, and it
yeah,
because
it began
like
production in July 2019.
It's probably
it's a
He-Man
thing.
Disgusting. Do you think because he wore a wig, but then he dyed his beard,
that's
but he wore
what
a
happened.
Wig? Because He-Man's hair is like famously bad,
blonde. It's like yeah, it's and also fake. You can wear a wig and it looks real. You can't fake facial hair. Looks fake facial hair. Like just take a look at John Travolta. Fake facial hair is like not good for business. Okay, so Noah Centineo bleached his beard. He's even more of a who than before.
Yeah, true. Because he's the He-Man who. He's the who man. Is He-Man gonna change anything for him? No.
No, I don't even know what He-Man is.
He-Man's the meme that's like him. The He-Man meme. Remember that He-Man meme?
No, I don't remember
okay,
that.
Fine.
Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner. And dancing, courtesy of Lala. Did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking. And it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I use Pretty Litter. And nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm gonna have people over and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy. Especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. Jeff Lewis's daughter, too, expelled from preschool after he criticized it on the radio. So Jeff Lewis has a radio show. He complained about his daughter's preschool. And
clearly
then his preschool was like, fuck you, we're kicking your daughter out. Which seems unfair.
It does, but it also seems like, stop talking about our school on your radio show. But also, who's listening to this radio show?
Yeah, but don't punish the kid.
I know.
It's a Montessori school. They're paying probably a lot of money for this stupid thing, this Montessori school.
Who's Jeff Lewis again? Flipping out?
He's flipping out. He's the flipping out guy.
But he's like drama.
He's nothing but drama.
He's all drama.
Mm-hmm.
What does he talk about on this show?
I don't know. It's on SiriusXM.
What is he?
And it's called Jeff Lewis Live.
So he just talks
about anything.
I did end up speaking to the headmistress on Saturday. And by the way, I did prep myself for the phone call. I knew there was a possibility I would have to get in a very vulnerable state.
Yeah.
And I would have to be apologetic and remorseful. So
I know how hard that is for you.
I got into character.
Yeah.
And within the first few minutes, she had already just kind of, she just laid it out and said, look, we're going to be expelling Monroe. And I spent the next 15 minutes in character. Mm-hmm. But what I should have done is what you told me, Doug, should have taken a pen and stabbed myself in the hand, because that would have made me cry.
That's not enough for you. I should have slit my wrist. I said a stapler. You got to staple your thigh.
The parents said he was bullying them, which is interesting because they're bullying his kid by kicking her out of school at 2 years old, who has no idea what even happened. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he read emails.
Exactly,
he read emails, internal emails, without using their names, but he read emails and mocked parents. That's a little stupid. Also, get this radio show together if it involves you reading emails from other parents at your school.
The headmistress apparently told Lewis that he had bullied two of my mothers on air, an accusation that Lewis denied. I said, are you kidding me? Bullied? I read two emails. I didn't say somebody was fat. All I did was read two emails. Defamatory jokes have been made by Lewis on his SiriusXM show about one of the mothers looking like a woman who would go to a key party. The headmistress told Lewis that while she received only one complaint and that it was not from either of the individuals he mentioned on air, she was expecting their call any day. And that caused Lewis to, flip out.
Oh my God.
So the people who complained weren't even the people that he mentioned on the talk show. Because obviously, who fucking listens to that thing?
I gotta say, he really dug himself deeper by saying, I didn't bully them. It's not like I called them fat. Okay, now you fucking can't. Shut the fuck up. Get off the rate, you know?
Yeah, you just keep canceling yourself.
Now shut up, please. I gotta say, I didn't care about him and don't really like him. And now I don't like him less. But
he just keeps showing up because he has this nasty behavior that will not stop.
Right. Doesn't like Andy, hate him. Bravo, hates him. Yeah. Bravo wants something to do with him. He broke up with his husband. That was a big deal, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone on the cast hates him.
He has a terrible relationship with that co-host, the one who looks like Elaine Benes.
Yeah. What's her name? Right. Her.
Terrible. Joan. Jan.
Jenny. Jenny.
Jenny. Jenny. Jenny. Jenny. Jenny. Jenny. Got a terrible relationship with her. It doesn't surprise me that he did this. What surprises me is that he still has a radio show.
Yeah, that's surprising.
That just sounds like a nasty show. It does not sound fun to listen to at all.
Yeah, who's listening to this show?
So I guess what I'm trying to say is that I think it's time to move on. I think it's time for you to move on. And I am eternally grateful to you, because I would not be here if it weren't for you.
I thought we were having lunch to discuss what had happened and decide how to regroup. I didn't realize my future at Jeff Lewis Design was over.
I actually didn't make a decision until maybe an hour before
lunch with Jenny.
Yeah, to be honest, I was leaning towards not letting her go. The whole thing was scary. It was scary because, I'm used to her being next to me for the last dozen years.
If you listen to that show, you are conditioned to be okay with that sort of behavior, so you wouldn't complain about him saying that stuff. So it's surprising that someone complained at all, because if you're listening to that show, you're not the type of person who would complain about Jeff Lewis being an asshole.
Well, I guess your point is that if you listen to that show, you are maybe a fan of Jeff Lewis because it's such a niche show. So why would you complain about Jeff Lewis if you were a fan of Jeff Lewis and you weren't one of the people that he was talking about? But a lot of people hate listening to stuff. So,
I was talking, who was telling it? Hate listening is just such a, it just takes so much more effort than hate watching or hate reading,
Sure.
hate listening is such an active thing.
You mean like radios and like podcasts?
Yeah,
and stuff.
like it's hard to waste time on a like you can hate read a thing because it takes 2 minutes, but it's like I'm not gonna if I don't like your podcast, I'm just not gonna listen.
I
to
wish
it.
More people.
Like,
would, I wish listen. People more people would hate.
Yeah,
listen
please
to our podcast.
Hate listen to our podcast. We know no one does because it takes fucking an hour, no, 2 hours of their week.
Love the streams if people were hate listening. I love that
yeah,
extra
that
like
great.
Bump of like 10% hate listeners, or you know, sorry, that's flattering. Like 20% hate, you know.
Yeah, but I hear you guys aren't together anymore.
We had, you know, Jenny and I have been friends for 16 years. So, you know, something happened recently that it was really hard for me to get past.
What?
Okay. It was a very emotional, it was a very emotional knee-jerk reaction.
Okay.
But she had basically gone to our bosses at Bravo and said, you know, that it was an abusive situation. Not like a sexual abuse situation, but it was like a hostile work environment.
Mother's Day. It's American Mother's Day coming up. I know the UK has their own Mother's Day in March, but our Mother's Day is coming
and
up.
And we don't just celebrate, you know, biological mothers. We celebrate,
no.
you know, people who you could consider mother and those who are mother figures to you. Could be anyone.
If there's a mother in your life who you want to celebrate on Mother's Day, get them StoryWorth. My parents printed out extra keepsake books for them. So now I have one of their keepsake books in my coffee table.
Oh, I love
of
that.
Their stories, which were, I mean, they were meant for my nephews, but works for me. I like having those stories.
You can read
Everyone
those stories.
Loves these stories.
Any
in the
good
family.
Stories in there?
Not that I'm willing to share.
Oh.
Well, you know what? Here's a fascinating story. I found out, I don't want to reveal what it was, but I found out what my mom originally wanted to do when she grew up.
Which was what?
She wanted to be a flight attendant.
Oh, wow.
It didn't work out. Didn't work out. We love StoryWorth. It helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mom, mother figure, mother.
Capital M,
all mothers. For years to come. Every week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. You can write the questions. You can choose pre-written questions. It's really as much you or your mother are willing to put in. StoryWorth makes it all a breeze. They just need to respond to that email, long or short. Doesn't matter how verbose your mother is. You get a copy of those responses as they're submitted. And then at the end of the year, StoryWorth compiles all of those stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you can share and revisit for generations to come. You can print a copy for yourself. You can print a copy for the grandkids. You can print a copy for your friends. Print as many copies as you want. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 25,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over a decade ago. So give all the mothers in your life a unique, heartfelt gift that you'll cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/who. That's storyworth.com/who to save $10 on your first purchase. Speaking of hate listens, Nick Vile, is he dating Rachel Bilson? Is she hate listening?
I could
Nick
not
Vile?
Give a fucking shit. Do people think that they're dating?
I think because they've been posing for photos
but
together.
She's
but
she's just
if
a
anything,
huge bachelor person.
She's a bachelor person and he's just a horny dude. So yeah. he will take a photo in front of anyone.
I
anyone
bet
famous.
She was on his podcast or some bullshit.
I'm very excited to have Rachel on. I slid into her DM Ooh, to ask her to sounds... come on, just professionally.
What?
Professionally.
What did the message read? What was it?
I was like, listen, I have two questions. The first one's super appropriate. The second, no. I was just like.
He sent me nudes.
Oh, no.
Of Luke.
And I never
No, I knew that Rachel was a big Bachelor fan.
Yes.
And so I've been a fan of Rachel for some time. I had noticed throughout maybe the past couple years, there was one time I think you might have commented on my Instagram and I noticed it and I was like, whew, really? Really? This is very exciting for me. The thing I will say about like the Bachelor, what?
You didn't slide into my DMs then. You could have told me you were excited about
there
it.
There was a thought. I mean, you know.
Always got to shoot your shot, Nick.
Right? Because every Bachelor person has a podcast. Talking about podcasts.
Yeah, no. Yeah, oh she was on his podcast God. And that's it. She was on his podcast and everyone was like, they're fucking. But no, they just
Nick
recorded a podcast.
Nick has been leaving flirtatious comments on Rachel's Instagram. Yeah, because he's fucking thirsty. That's literally his entire existence. Whatever. That's
disgusting.
So dull.
It pisses me off, but I mean, I don't watch the show. Hottest Bachelor, right? Number one?
I mean,
or is that just me? He's got to be.
TBD. He turned out to be a dud, though, I'll tell you that. He's a huge dud.
But I get it. I get why he's like he's a huge, in demand on the scene.
He's a huge dud. But yeah, he was disappointing in his actual season.
So they're maybe dating, maybe not, probably not. They were just on a podcast together. That doesn't mean anything. The best relationship story of this week is Thomas Middleditch gave an interview to Playboy.
Poor ass wife.
And he talked about how...
Thomas Middleditch would give an interview to Playboy, which like... is anyone reading... Playboy is not a...
I didn't know people read Playboy.
Right.
Isn't it only online?
No, I think there is a magazine and they redid it and it's this whole thing and they redid the website and they're trying to like make it a thing. But I guess my point is just like you rarely hear things that are newsworthy coming out of the Playboy realm. Yeah. And the one thing is Thomas Middleditch answering like, I guess, 20 questions. They do like a 20 questions format. Mm-hmm. And what he ends up revealing via these questions makes him seem like the biggest turd I can't. Yeah. Understand.
If you're reading Playboy and you read about like a couple that's in like an open marriage or like they're swingers or excuse me, what's the term now? It's called like, are you in the lifestyle
in
or whatever?
The lifestyle.
It would be fun or interesting to read about that if it seemed like both parties were having a good time. This interview is not fun to read because it sounds like Thomas Middleditch sort of pressured his wife into doing something that she doesn't want to do. And he essentially says
I don't know how much I can say because I don't want my wife to be mad at me. That means you stop. Stop. End.
If it's something like Thomas and Molly are like, oh yeah, we're swingers, we have a good time, like... we go to these things a couple times a week. If it was actually like an enlightening story about swingers, fine. No one would have batted an eye. They would have been like, oh, Thomas Middleditch. Oh, it's Silicon Valley guy. He makes it seem like his wife is in misery
Listen to this. Only after I got married was I like, Molly, I'm sorry, but we have to get non-traditional here. So,
Molly, I'm sorry.
So,
Molly,
do you want this reads to me as only after I got famous was I like, Molly, sorry, but we have to be non-traditional here. I'm going back to the text. To her credit, instead of saying, fuck you, I'm out, which it seems like she might be doing that soon, she was like, quote, let's figure this out. To be honest, swinging has saved our marriage. We have different speeds.
Because I wanted to swing. And she didn't. And I was like, these are the terms. You have to swing. And she was like, ugh.
We have different speeds and we argue about it constantly. But it's better than feeling unheard and alone and that you have to scurry in the shadows. I'm sorry, but is it? By the way, it's now called being part of the lifestyle. The term swinging is old. I love telling Playboy that they're old.
This line is, I think, the most alarming one, where he says, I'm gas and she's the brakes. She's probably like, brakes! She's constantly slamming on the brakes.
That's dangerous.
Brakes, 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 brakes.
They say,
You want both parties to be on the same level when it comes to acceleration and deceleration, you know?
Well, I mean, that's how you
can't just...
can't drive a car accidents. Where the brakes and the gas aren't discussing things.
Like, if Lindsay and I were driving a car and Lindsay had her foot on the brakes and I had my foot on the gas, we would be dead in 2 minutes. In 2 minutes.
Brakes! Brakes!
Brakes! We would fly up the BQE.
He says, I self-deprecatingly call myself a pervert, but that's not what it is. I'm just like it. I'm sexual. I'd always thought I was a romantic, but when I fall in love, that stuff fades away. It does for some years enough to be like, I should get married and I'll be different, but it's a part of me. If that's a part of your being, it feels important to you. Find a way to explore it because repression sucks.
And again, this whole thing would be like a non-issue if it were just him talking about like, I'm horny. Like, I like going to these things. Like, this poor woman, she must not have been happy about this being published, right? They're getting divorced.
Oh, God. I mean, this interview just keeps going. I've been to some weird parties that were very eyes wide shut from which I walked away thinking, quote, I don't need it, but I'm glad I saw that. I've seen some dicks. I've seen some butts. I've seen some tits. It's weird. Oh, my God. I just can't read this anymore. This is hurt.
I hate how he just falls into the sexually active band nerds category. Like, that's exactly what he is. Just overly horny. Just like, guess what? I fuck.
Get famous. Become as bad as any other, you know, hunky dude. Which, like, he's not unattractive at all. So like to have this like thing where he's a nerd, it's like he literally played a nerd on TV or whatever. So
and isn't he like the Verizon guy? He's like, get a new phone.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That probably paid more than Silicon Valley, which I can't wait for that show to end. What a dumpster.
You're the only one who still fucking watches it. That's why.
Because I have to see how it ends now. It sucks.
How do you think it ends?
It's the worst.
How do most startup stories end? Like, I don't understand.
Failure. They're all going to end in failure. They're going to be ruined by the end of it. Oh, God. It's the worst show.
It is not a great show. I guess my point is just like this. He made it seem he took something that could be interesting, right, for mm-hmm. like a celebrity to talk about being involved in and mm-hmm. not even bad and made and talked about it in the worst way. So that now it's like just another cliche of like a famous guy being like, yeah, my wife fucking hates me. Ha ha ha. And like,
ha 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 ha.
You know, and
here's me in a velvet right. robe and Playboy.
And taking like what could be like a healthy open relationship and turning it into like a gross, slimy Playboy interview that involves you talking yeah. about how like your wife hates you because you want an open marriage essentially and she clearly doesn't. Ugh. Ugh. Blah, 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 blah.
Speaking of relationships, Andrew Rannells of Book of Mormon and Girls fame is now dating some gay guy named Tuck Watkins of The Boys in the Band and Desperate Housewives fame.
I read this as Tooch, but it's funny that it's Tuck. Tooch.
No, it's Tuck.
Tooch.
It's Tuck.
He was T-U-C. In, they were in a play together. That's cute. Mm-hmm.
Boys in the Band. A very gay play.
He's a little bit older than him.
They played boyfriends in the play.
No, that's older. Cute.
Yeah. Anyway, now they're dating. It's just like their entire photo streams. It's just like, here we are in the pool. Here we are outside the pool. Here we are beside the pool. Here we are in the pool.
Stop.
Here we are
stop.
Inside the pool. Me, 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 me.
Wait, I'm sorry.
This
pool photo shoot sounds great.
I don't know. It's whatever. Point is, they're not that interesting. Who cares? Like
right.
gay Broadway dudes with abs, not interesting.
The right.
interesting thing is Tuck is older than Andrew, so he, as someone from an older generation, he was in the closet through the majority of his early career, and so when he came out, he was like already in his 40s, I think. But the way he came out is the gay. I was like, how could this get any gayer? Like Book of Mormon dating Boys in the Band who was on Desperate Housewives, like whatever. It can get gayer, and let me tell you how he came out. In like 2007 to Marie Osmond on her short-lived Hallmark talk show, Marie.
That's so funny. That's funny.
There are few things gayer than coming out to Marie Osmond on her talk show on Hallmark Channel called Marie.
Marie starts now.
I love it.
First Marie show. I'm so excited.
First of all, Marie had a talk show on Hallmark Channel
called Marie.
Wait, Hallmark Channel Marie. Well, now she's back on the talk, as you know.
Yeah,
Marie lasted.
It's her calling. It's her true calling.
For 1 year. 1 year.
150 episodes.
That's a lot because it's a talk show, right?
Well, yeah. It's just every day.
Hallmark Channel has this. What happened in 2013. Hallmark Channel has pulled the plug on Marie Osmond's talk show after just one season, but The Yakker will be brought into syndication space next fall. With so many talk show offerings in the day part, Hallmark Channel has decided not to greenlight a second season of Marie. Okay, but how do you syndicate a topical talk show starring Marie Osmond? I don't want to know.
I think each one just had one interview. Is the thing. Because all of the titles, right, all the episode right. titles are just one character.
Right.
I mean, one actor name.
So Marie got canceled in 2014.
Her first guest, 2012. October 1st, 2012, Betty White. Her second guest, Fran Drescher. Scroll. Like Perry Gilpin was one of her guests. Get out of here. The show was never going to last.
This is an amazing list of people. Terry Polo, Charles Shaughnessy,
Penelope
Melissa Peterman,
Ann Miller.
LeVar Burton, Angela Kinsey.
Fully going to be like the kids from The Nanny because they got everyone else from The Nanny.
Oh my God, Jamie Gertz was there.
Lou Ferrigno, Kathy Ireland.
Frances Fisher, obviously.
Jeff
Lisa
Lewis,
Gibbons.
Ding. Tia and Tamara
Kevin
Mowry.
Kevin Sorbo was there.
It looks like Tia and Tamara Mowry are one of like four pairs that were ever on that show.
This is incredible. Marley
Glandel,
obviously final, Marley Matlin.
The final guest, Helen Reddy.
Did she know she was being canceled? Buzz Aldrin, incredible. Zendaya was on this show. Zendaya, July 3rd, 2013. Zendaya.
She was like a baby.
Literally, she was a newborn.
Helen Reddy. I love Helen Reddy.
Okay, this is a great list of people. I feel like this should be referred to. It's just like a celebrity is a who or a them or they appeared on Marie Osmond's late talk show on the Hallmark Channel.
150 episodes. That's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. I mean, it's funny because she got canceled after one season and yet she did 150 episodes. Like, I'd be like, you know what? I'm done. Thank you so much.
That's a success.
This is incredible for me, personally.
Her logo is very strange. Do you see the logo for the show?
I'm looking. Yeah, just it's Marie, but the eye
has
a...
It's Marie, but then...
Eye has an Eiffel Tower over it.
Is that an... That's what I was wondering. Is that an Eiffel Tower?
But I don't... Is that her thing?
It looks like she dotted the eye with an Eiffel Tower.
Why would you dot an eye with an Eiffel Tower?
I don't know.
No, like, why, though?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, so...
Oh, maybe it's because Hallmark Channel logo is topped with like a crown.
Doesn't
say anything. Okay, let's move on.
But that's not a crown. It's an Eiffel Tower.
I understand
that. Or it's just a triangle.
I don't understand. I understand, but I don't understand. It's fine.
It's like celebrities have a weird punctuation because it's like cute. Look, this is how I sign. This is my signature. Maybe it's just her weird dot thing that she does.
Sure. Yeah. Sorry.
Miley Cyrus and Caitlyn Carter broke up.
Yeah. Shocking. Truly. Shocking.
After 6 weeks.
Yeah. Are you surprised?
The source told People, Miley and Caitlyn broke up. They're still friends. Miley and Caitlyn broke up. That's a text. That's absolutely a text message, right?
I mean, I feel like they broke up because they were never really... Like, Miley needed an out. She got an out.
Yeah. Miley got an out. She got her 6 weeks. It's been 6 weeks since the divorce, and they were like, we've had enough.
Yeah, no, that's it. What else is there to say? It's
uninteresting.
Like they broke up.
It says they've been friends forever and they were there for each other when they were both getting separated, but they're not in a romantic relationship. Honestly, maybe they never were. Maybe they were just like consoling each other and that's what it seemed like.
Maybe they were just like hooking up. They seemed like they had chemistry though.
Miley singing Don't Call Me Angel Alone is the most embarrassing thing I've ever seen. And I like that song, which we talked about on when the song came out, how funny it is whenever like a group song gets split up and each of them has to perform it individually. Well, it finally happened. Miley Cyrus did it and we found out how it happens. She only sings her verse and then when Ariana sings the chorus, Miley just stops and they play a clip of Ariana singing the chorus.
They didn't even play a clip. They just played the sound over the speakers. It's just like appalling. Didn't we warn you guys about this? Like, listen to us.
Don't sing it live.
Don't Call Me Angel by myself.
Do I need to say it again? Yeah, you better stop the sweet talk and keep your pretty mouth shut. What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about. What's Rita Ora up to?
Who is this woman?
The first thing we have to mention is the two beautiful word clouds that two hooligans made us. Oh my God.
We got two different ones. One that was just Rita Ora, things that Rita Ora does, which includes flashes, reveals, wears, shows, displays, puts, dons, looks, showcases, rocks, makes, takes, goes,
keeps,
wants,
sets, gets,
cuts, turns,
nails.
Poses,
I love nails. Opts.
Steps.
Opts is really good. I love when
Command.
Rita opts.
Okay, then he had adjectives, which is what we asked for, which was white, red, new, black, high, mini, casual, sexy, free, quirky, tiny, bright, bizarre, tiny is funny, leggy, floral, toned, skimpy, first, sultry, chic, romantic, sensational, metallic, raunchy, busty, final, glamorous, edgy, little, racy, incredible. And then we did another one. Someone else did a word cloud for us as well with the Rita Ora. This was from Alec. This is just words. So Rita Ora is in here because yes. Obviously. Then you have new, London, shows, dress, steps, flashes, factor, rocks, display, boyfriend. Plunging is huge here for some reason. I mean, I know.
I get it.
White, star studded. Leaves, leather, Calvin.
God, they. It's
wearing.
This
heads.
Code is now on GitHub. Swizzard uploaded it so anyone can use this anytime they want to. It's like a Python code. I don't know what that means. Oh, Sam Raker. Your name is Sam Raker. You're from Austin, Texas. I love it. 101 lines of code. This person made 101 lines of code for us. That's incredible.
That's so nice. And you can just pull anything you want.
Root
from
equals
Rita
HTTPS colon hyphen hyphen. // dailymail.co.uk/home/search.html. And I guess it's just searching for Rita Ora, sort by recent, type article, days, all, so all of time. I feel like such a coder. I feel like it's going to teach me how to code this one piece of Rita Ora code. What else has Rita Ora done? She sizzled in a chic striped dressed photo trio in Instagram Can't Deal. Instagram can never deal with Rita. Like, that's not news. Inquisitor.
But also Instagram, the company can deal. The fans can't. Instagram
fans
or
can't
readers
deal.
Can't deal.
She exposed her perky derriere and revealing bodysuit and fans couldn't handle it. I understand. I agree.
She's our Instagram queen of the week. Sexy bikini.
Hollywood Life called her their Instagram queen of the week.
This fucking Hollywood Life shit. I gotta figure out what's going on with Hollywood Life. Like, why
it's
are they
like
just?
They got more money, or they got a new editor. Hollywood Life has been doing the most lately. The thing about Hollywood Life, though, it's still like
the
ugliest the website.
Least.
It's such a hideous website to be on.
And yet, and even though they're getting all these scoops, they're still posting Rita Ora bikini pics. You know,
Rita Ora nearly pops out of skimpy black bikini while posing by the water. Pic.
Rita Ora and I do have something in common. We're both in the September is still summer camp. That's true, actually.
This is literally the first day of fall, though. Today is literally
the
first day of
fall. And I'm literally going to the beach in a few hours. So
you are?
Yeah. Rita Ora nearly pops out of skimply back bikini. Oh, you said this. Why is she nearly popping out?
I'm going to look at this photo.
Nearly.
Is it just that she has? She's been really into underboob this year, so maybe that's all it is.
I just don't appreciate. Here's my thing, right? Rita
She's
works,
not even nearly popping Rita out.
Works
oh, well, there's
really,
underboob again.
Rita wears like sexy clothes. I've seen this photo before.
Yeah.
But Rita works really hard. She cares about fashion and she's not over here having fashion mistakes or, nip slips or any type of like misplaced anything. She works really hard.
Everything is intentional.
So that her look is intentional. Deliberate. So for you to say she's nearly popping out of something is very rude to me.
You're acting like anything about Rita Ora is an accident.
That's what I'm saying.
Nothing about Rita Ora is an accident.
It's rude to say like, oops, she almost had this like mistake where her like tit popped out. And it's like, no, she's just wearing a bathing suit that has like the illusion of
a little
that.
Bit of tit popping
out. Yeah, like it's sexy. And so like, how dare you imply that she doesn't have it figured out and altogether, that she's messy. Also, these bikini pics are old. The one of her quote unquote popping out. Remember the photo she took next to a boat and it said, great news.
Yes,
you love that. That's the same photo.
Yes. Great news.
Yeah.
We're done. Thank you for listening to Who Weekly, another episode. We'll be back on Friday with a call-in episode. Call 619 Who Them to leave questions, comments, and concerns. We may address them on a future episode. Support us at patreon.com/WhoWeekly for twice monthly bonus episodes and weekly newsletters. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, and we will see you in 4 days. Bye.
You will, Jayla. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They wanna know.